you all very much for taking the time out of your morning to talk about the important things that we have going on here in the state of Nebraska. And I want to thank Senator Jacobson. As you know, he stepped into this legislative session about halfway through.
Day 31.
A little over halfway through. And he hit the ground running and did a fantastic job representing your plan. So you did a great job, Senator. Appreciate all your help. In fact, this session is going to go down in history as being one of the unicameral's finest sessions. Now, I don't know if we can pin that directly on Jacobson being there, but he was certainly one of the team that helped make all this happen, because it was truly a historic legislative session. And as Mike said, a lot of that was set up by what we've been doing here in Nebraska prior to this legislative session. Certainly, I appreciate you highlighting the way we've controlled government spending. One of the things we've did is focused on slowing the growth of how fast our expenses are growing. Because if you keep your expenses low and you let your revenues rise, the way Mike was describing, that's how you get tax relief, right? There's no other way to do it. You can't get tax relief by raising somebody else's tax to give somebody else tax relief. That's called a tax shift. The only way to deliver tax relief is keep your expenses low, let the economy grow, let your tax revenues grow, and then provide tax relief. And that's what we've done. We kept that growth rate to 2.8%. Just to put that in perspective, the last 2 years of the last administration, the budget was growing at 6.5% each of those years. And when you start growing 6.5% a year and you compound that year after year, let me tell you, your expenses go up very fast. So that's how we've been able to do a lot of the work this year, is by doing that. The other thing that we did here in Nebraska is we really worked together through first the floods of 2019 and then the pandemic of 2020 and 2021. You know, Nebraskans are resilient. They take care of each other and they want to get back to work. And that's what we saw here in the state. Nebraskans worked hard to get through this pandemic. And in fact, we have been ranked the number one best state for pandemic response by Politico. They ranked us on four different areas. They looked at health, social well-being, education, and economy. And across those four categories, on average, Nebraska came out ranked number one. And then the National Board of Economic Research also ranked states on pandemic response and gave Nebraska an A+. We actually came out number two behind Utah. And those were similarly. They looked at mortality rates, adjusted for age and other underlying health conditions. They looked at education, they looked at economy. And Nebraska came out ranked number two in that one. So because of that strong pandemic response, we've come out of that in a very strong position. We have the lowest unemployment rate in the country at 2% and the lowest in state history. We have more people employed today than ever in our state's history. 1,037,000 people, a new record. And that is nearly 20,000 more people employed today than we had pre-pandemic. We also have the most number of people, over 101,000 people today, employed in manufacturing. That's the most we've had since June of 2008. And we've got the highest employment per population ratio and the highest workforce participation rate. Again, Nebraska's wanting to get back to work. What we've seen is that our revenues are growing above forecast, significantly above forecast. In fact, the forecasting board has met a couple times since we ended the session last year and taken our forecast up over $1 billion from this two-year biannual budget. Put that in perspective, we regularly spend about $5 billion a year or $10 billion across 2 years, and they've already taken our budget forecast or our revenue forecast up by $1 billion. So taking it even further than what we already had planned to spend. And that's one of the ways that we can deliver that tax relief. And those revenues are growing, and we have revenues in excess of what we need to run our operations, we should give that money back. Because that's not my money. It's not my agency's money. Respectfully, I think the Senator would agree, it's not his money. It's your money. And we need to give it back. And that's what we did this session, in a big way. And this is one of the biggest, so there's four key things we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about this morning. Any one of which would be historic. And all four of these got done in a very short 60-day session. And that is just phenomenal work by the legislature. It truly is phenomenal work what the legislature did in a short 60-day session. They accomplished a lot. And that's what we're going to talk about. And then we'll open up the Q&A. We'll keep this to about now. So let's talk about that tax relief bill. LB 873 pulled together a number of different tax relief efforts. First of all, one of the most important things it did was protect the property tax relief we passed in 2020. That bill, LB 1107, delivers property tax relief by giving you a rebate back on whatever you pay into your local school district in property taxes. This year, when you file, hope you do this on your Nebraska income tax, and it's not too late, you can still do it, go back and refile. When you filed your Nebraska state income tax, you could claim a 25.3% rebate back on whatever you paid into your local school district and property taxes. That is significant tax relief. Now that tax relief was set to go down in 2024. One of the things LB 873 did is put a floor underneath that so that would not go down, and put an inflator in so it would actually go up with land prices. So that's an important part what we did in LB 873. The second thing we did in LB 873 was add an additional property tax credit. This time, what you pay into your local community colleges. So starting in the 22 tax year, we're gonna add $50 million for that tax credit people can claim. And that will go up to $195 million by the year 2026. So an additional almost $200 million that we will phase in over the next 4 years. An additional property tax relief on top of what we're already delivering right now. So that is significant. But wait, that's not all. Because also on that bill, we're accelerating the work we're doing on Social Security tax relief. We're one of the few states that taxes Social Security benefits. And it's a disincentive for our retirees to stay in Nebraska. We don't want to chase them out. And we see another thing that's going on right now is inflation has reached a 40-year high. Thanks to the Biden administration's poor policy. When you're on fixed income, that makes it difficult to deal with that inflation. So we're gonna accelerate the tax relief we passed last year to phase out those taxes on Social Security from 10 years, we're gonna phase them out now over 5 years. So we'll phase those out over the next 5 years. And then we're also gonna take income taxes down. We're gonna take income taxes down from 6.84% 5.84%, phase that in over the next 5 years. We'll take business taxes down from 7.5% to line those down to 5.84%. So we'll make those two things align. And that's gonna be additional significant tax relief as well. In fact, if you look at all this together, through my administration, through 8 years, we will deliver $4 billion of property tax relief. And this tax package will deliver by 2027 another $3.4 billion in tax relief by 2027. And if you want to put it in perspective, it's roughly the equivalent of about 22% of our general fund budget will be going back into tax relief. So about 22% of what we spend in our general fund budget will be going back to people in tax relief. It's not actually coming out of the budget that way, but just it's the same equivalent size. It's over $1 billion compared to $5 million. So over $1 billion in tax relief a year compared to $5 million. So significant tax relief. So that's the first major bill. Like I said, by itself, that would have been historic. Except the Omaha World Herald wouldn't tell you that. Which is one of the reasons why we're doing these town halls. So what do you think was on the front page of the Omaha World Herald the day I signed that tax relief package the legislature passed? Any guesses? Pink flamingos. Literally pink flamingos. The front page banner headline story was about how the zoo was protecting flamingos from the avian virus. So you say, okay, well maybe they put it on the Midland section because that's where they talk a lot about political stories. Banner headline there was about an attorney who lost his license. There was one column down the right-hand side of the page talking about that tax relief bill. This, folks, you may not like the bill, but it's historic regardless, right? It is a historic bill regardless. I think it deserves a little better. It is. So So that bill would have been enough to make this session historic. We passed three other bills that would also fit that category. The first I'm going to hit upon is what we've done for public safety and law enforcement. We have, this session has probably been the most proactive session we have done with regard to law enforcement and public safety that I can ever recall. And it's important, right? Because we can see what happens around the country when you are not supporting law enforcement. And when district attorneys and county attorneys don't prosecute criminals, we see rampant crime. I mean, you can look at what's going on in San Francisco, for example. They have said that if you're shoplifting less than $950, they're not going to prosecute you. So what happens in San Francisco? People have literally gone into Walgreens and CVS with a calculator to make sure they have stayed below that $950 threshold and walked out of the store. And quite rightly, those stores have told their people, don't interfere, it's not worth your life, because it's not. But what do you think CVS and Walgreens are doing? They're closing stores in San Francisco. Even the very liberal mayor of San Francisco says enough, enough. When you don't support law enforcement, when you tell them they're not valued because you want to defund the police, and when you have county prosecutors that are not going after criminals, guess what? You have crime. You know, we want to support our law enforcement officers. We want to support our police. We want to invest in law enforcement, and that's what this legislature did. They took major steps to invest in public safety and law enforcement on a variety of different fronts. Now, one of the things that we're going to need to do here in the state is replace the Nebraska State Penitentiary. It was originally built over 150 years ago. It is long past its useful lifetime. We can build a greenfield replacement facility that will allow us to take advantage of new technology and modern practices that will improve safety for our corrections officers as well as the inmates, and improve the quality of life for those folks. And that's what I proposed. I proposed that actually a year ago, and the cost at that time was $230 million. This year, that cost has gone up to $270 million. The legislature did not give us the appropriation or the authority to move forward on that replacement project. They've set aside the money this year, so they've set aside now $270 million. But they didn't give us the authority to move forward on that project, which means next year it's going to go up and they're going to have to appropriate more money. So Senator, at some point, you and your colleagues are going to have to tackle this one. Your alternative is to invest in the current Nebraska State Penitentiary, that old facility that was last updated almost 50 years ago. The price tag on that, we came up with at the end of last year, was about $220 million. Now I'm going to tell you, same thing is going to go on. Inflation is going to take that number up. And I will tell you, based on my experience with old buildings, like we're doing the Capitol HVAC project right now, $220 million is not going to cover it. Because once you start getting into renovating an old building, you find that steel has rusted out, concrete has fallen apart, it was just more expensive. And I'll give you an example. With the current Nebraska State Penitentiary last summer, our water pipes broke. It took us 3 days to get to those pipes and fix them. That's not a great experience for anybody in that facility, not our corrections officers, not the inmates. So I think it's a mistake to try to rehabilitate that facility. We should build a replacement someplace else and then close that facility and sell it off, whatever. But move everybody out of the current penitentiary into one that we built brand new. So that's money has been set aside, though the appropriation wasn't, or the authority wasn't given for aside for us to move forward. The legislature also did invest $47.7 million in our law enforcement training center in Grand Island. This will help us create more capacity there, better facilities, so that we can make sure that our law enforcement officers are getting the state-of-the-art training and increase the capacity so we can get more officers through there. That will make sure that communities across the state have law enforcement officers to meet their needs. So that's an important investment. We also invested $16.9 million in the crime lab at the Nebraska State Patrol. That is to make sure that we can, again, handle the capacity and make sure that those victims of crime get justice so we can prosecute those crimes, get the information we need through that crime lab. In addition, we took a number of steps to encourage law enforcement officers to come here and stay here. We passed a reciprocity bill that will allow law enforcement officers from other states that are certified in other states to come here to Nebraska and work. They won't have to get recertified here. So for example, when Colorado gets rid of their qualified immunity law for law enforcement officers and 100 of them quit, we'll now have the opportunity to go recruit those folks here to come work for our agencies. We also passed a number of different incentives for law enforcement officers. One of the things we're going to do is waive the tuition at state college, university, state college, and community colleges for any law enforcement officer that's working here in Nebraska. So, a nice benefit that when law enforcement come here, they can continue their education. We're also going to provide incentive payments to law enforcement officers for staying. So after your 1 year, 3 year, 5 year anniversary, you'll get a bonus payment from the state to stay here in law enforcement. And then finally, for law enforcement officers who retire at age 60, typically the age, but you have to pay for your health insurance till you get to 65 and get to Medicare, we're gonna give you a tax break on those health insurance, the cost of health insurance here in the state of Nebraska. So again, a tremendous package for law enforcement and public safety here in the state of Nebraska. Again, historic. On its own, by itself, would have been historic. Then the third thing we did was invest in our water resources. First of all, one of the ones that I proposed was building the Perkins County Canal. Now, what we have seen in Colorado is the Front Range there has grown tremendously, and its projections continue to grow, and they are desperately short of water. And so they are looking to take the water to the South Platte River that normally flows to us. Now, we have, so Colorado, when I say they're planning on taking that, Colorado has laid out 282 different projects that they have proposed. They've already built 82 of them. 17 are in construction. And the total cost of those 282 projects is nearly $10 billion. And we project that if they were to build all those projects, they would reduce the amount of water coming to Nebraska in the Platte River by 90%. And in fact, that is their stated goal. They passed a bill back in 2016 into law that says they want to give Nebraska no more than the legally required water. And we've got documents from them as well that show that here's what they're planning on giving us, and it's the bare legal minimum. And right now that legal minimum is defined by a compact that we signed with Colorado back in 1923. It was approved by Congress in 1926, approved by both legislatures. In that compact, Colorado has to give to us 130,000 cubic feet a second of water during the irrigation season. That's it. So if you take, and this is one of the documents, irrigation season, think April to October, it's about 199 days long. That means about 47,700 acre feet of water. That's all they're planning on giving. We've got documents from them to show that. However, the compact also says that if Nebraska builds a canal in the South Platte River through Colorado to a reservoir system in Nebraska, Colorado will deliver another 500 cubic feet a second in the non-irrigation season, so winter, basically October through the following April. But the only legal claim we have that 500 cubic feet a second in the winter is if we build a canal and reservoir system. Now you can tell that Colorado's nervous about this because they keep bad-mouthing the project. Like, I didn't know Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, was so concerned about taxpayers here in Nebraska. He's like, oh, this is a boondoggle, it's a canal to nowhere. He's never demonstrated that sort of concern for us in the past. In fact, he's actually really never even talked to me at our governor's meeting until this project came up, and then he started talking to me more. So we have to build this to be able to secure our water rights. Because we can see that if we don't, Colorado is planning on moving forward on this. In fact, when we introduced this earlier, previously this year, Colorado then introduced a bill to accelerate the work on their projects on the South Platte River. Apparently, they believe possession is 9/10 of the law, so they're going to try and get a bunch of these development projects done to get this water so that we can't have it. So the legislature has given me the authority to move forward on this project. We estimate the total cost will be about $500 million. So think about $500 million versus $10 billion. It's a bargain to be able to hold on to our water. And by the way, this is not new water. This is water we're already getting today that Colorado is looking to take from us. That project, we have about $53 million to get started, so we'll start looking at the design for this project, start the permitting process, start looking at land and that sort of thing. And then future legislatures will have to appropriate the rest of the money to actually start construction, but we've got enough for the next couple of years to get going on. So that will be the job of the next governor and Department of Natural Resources to start working on that project. And obviously, we're going to be very busy on that this summer, getting that all teed up as well. So we're going to start working on that right away. Now, why is this so important? Well, first of all, communities up and down the Platte River, and I don't have to tell you this, get their drinking water from the Platte River, right? In fact, Lincoln testified in favor in front of our bill because they estimate about 7% of the water they get is coming from the South Platte River. And they're already, you know, we've been in a drought condition, you all know. Lincoln has already issued warnings to the residents to conserve water. So if we had 7% less water, that makes that even worse. Omaha uses water. So all the way across the state, communities use it. We also use that water for irrigation. We're the largest irrigated state in the country. We have 9 million acres of irrigated farmland. 3 in every 8 of our farmland acres is irrigated. It's important for us to continue to have access to that water because agriculture is the foundation of our state's economy. And we leverage that water that we have here to irrigate our state and feed our state, our nation, and the world. So this is important to our economy. We have to have a strong agricultural economy to be a strong state. So we've got to hold on to that water for that purpose. We also use it for power generation. Gerald Gentleman, just down the road, uses water from the Platte for cooling, for example. And we use it to protect the natural environment. We've got to keep water, for example, for the Sandhills cranes when they migrate through. So for all these reasons, it's important for us to protect our water resources. And we know that Colorado is eyeing those, and they're not going to have our interests at heart. So we've got to go defend those rights, and the only way we can do that is through this canal. Now, another significant project that we invested in is the Star Wars project. We set aside $100 million for the Star Wars project that will build a marina at Lake McConaughey. We'll expand the marina at Lewis and Clark Lake. We'll create a convention center and lodge at Niobrara State Park. And then begin the process of building a lake between Lincoln and Omaha, about a 3,600-acre lake between Lincoln and Omaha. So investing in our water resources to create better amenities, to hold on to our people, attract and retain talent. And also, with that lake, for example, help us to be able to hold on to more of our water. We also invested in things like a $5 billion investment in the Prude levee system to bring them up to snuff so the federal government will retake them back into their federal program to maintain them. And $23 million for the tunnel that collapsed with the Fort Laramie Gearing Canal. That serves about 50,000 acres of the panhandle, and we put temporary fixes in, but it's not at full capacity. We're going to do permanent fixes to get that tunnel back up to full capacity. So lots of investments in our water resources. Again, just a historic bill with regard to all these investments. And then finally, a once-in-a-generation type opportunity is the ARPA dollars, the American Rescue Plan Act. This is the $1.04 billion the federal government gave to us to be able to help recover from the pandemic. And we're investing those dollars in a number of different ways. It's going to include about $60 million, about $68 million if you throw in the equipment, $68 million to our community colleges to help them create more expansion, to be able to train young people here in the state to take the jobs we have. Remember that 2% unemployment rate? We've got lots of employment, there's lots of people, so we want to make sure we train. $68 million there. We have $100 million for shovel-ready projects. We have $40 million for mental health care facilities. $60 million for UNK to build out a nurse training facility. An additional $5 million for nurses and behavioral health specialists to be able to, for example, forgive debt, you know, pay school debt to encourage them to go into that field or stay in that field. So a lot of investments in healthcare from that standpoint. $20 million for rural ambulances. We've got about $250 million out of ARPA, a total of $366 million when you throw in the other funds, to look at communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, so it's based on census tract. So significant investment there for things such as job training and so forth, to be able to have small businesses and so forth. We've got a $20 million grant for infrastructure for meat processing. So obviously one of the things we've seen here is that Sustainable Beef has gotten their approval to move forward in December. They'll be eligible to apply for this grant. There's also nearly another $10 million that are eligible for small and medium-sized meat processing facilities to be able to apply for grants to be able to help expand their business or get their business started, or have existing businesses, so to expand their business. So lots of things with regard to that. $20 million for our site and building development fund to encourage economic development. So just a number of different things we're investing in ARPA that are going to help us continue to grow our economy or take care of the folks. We've got $15 million for YRTC to be able to help with that facility. So making a number of different investments across the state, both in health and economy. So again, $1 billion that all has to be spent by 2026. So over the course of the summer, the first thing the legislature did, and this was a wise thing to do, they passed this bill and then instructed my agencies that we have to come back and make sure that what they invested, what they said to go spend the money on, actually qualifies for ARPA, because there are restrictions on what you can spend it on. So we're going to spend the next 90 days preparing that report of the things the legislature passed. I think it's about, of that, I proposed a budget to them on this. I think the legislature took about 65% of my recommendations. So basically, it's another 45% we have to go check. We already checked our stuff out that time. And but we'll do that over the next 90 days and then get started on all those different projects as well. And move, make sure that we're verifying that they qualify and then move forward on those projects. And then we'll report back to the legislature on that. So that, again, by itself, if it was just ARPA, would make this session historic. Because typically, again, what we do is we pass a two-year budget. We did that last year. We would come back in this short session, make any tweaks to the budget, and then move on. But the legislature not only made the changes to the budget this year, but it passed a big effort to pass a whole other budget. So significant investment of time to the Appropriations Committee and the whole body to be able to go through that $1.04 billion that we spent. So I know that's a lot to cover. That was a lot of information that we went over in a very short period of time. It took about a half an hour, but that does leave us about a half an hour left for questions and answers. So we can dig into those more, or anything else, any other topic we want to get into. And if it's a really tough question, I'm going to point it to Senator Jacobson.